Hi, I'm Eric Dahma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you hot here on a February afternoon, and it's doing a little snowing out there. And
yeah, well, we dream about green grass, but it's a ways off.
That's right, that's right. Well, I know last time we had left off in Galatians 6:10, where we were exhorted by the Apostle Paul to do good for all men, especially yeah. those who are the faith. But now we're exactly. in verse 11, and I'll just keep reading here. Galatians 6:11, Paul goes on to say, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." So I know, Bob, just with that verse itself, there's a lot of debate.
Yeah, and a lot of it's speculation.
Yeah.
And I think it was Schreiner, but one of the commentators just said, was he having eye problem or this or that?
Yeah.
And we can't know these things.
Right.
And so when I preached this, I just said the large letters signify the importance of the material, not bad eyesight.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a really good point. And just for the sake of the listener, some of them probably know this, but Paul obviously used an amanuensis, like a secretary, most of the
time.
Yeah,
he would have just done the very last part.
Yeah, and he does that in quite a few of his epistles, doesn't he? At the very end, he's, I know for 1 Corinthians 16, he does that, and also in Colossians 4:18. So, yeah, so it isn't, we don't have to get into speculation as to whether...
No, speculation doesn't help us understand the scripture.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so now, Bob, let me ask you this. When it gets into him writing with his own hand and authenticating it, Paul was really, really upset in this epistle. In other words, this is one where he was really concerned for their well-being, wasn't he?
It was very forthright, almost harsh.
Yeah.
A legalism is the one thing that Paul considered utterly intolerable.
Absolutely.
And see, the legalists don't see it that way at all because they think they're making things better by making more laws. And I think Christians should take note of the book of Galatians.
Right.
You know, you and I have seen people who just decide they don't want to hear about Galatians.
Yes, exactly right.
They want to say, well, it just has to do with salvation, so we're not going to learn anything from it.
You know, Bob, that's
a great
point.
The church was already there.
Yeah.
They were already saved. This was an issue about living the Christian life.
Wow.
You know, are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, you're going to be made perfect by the flesh? It wasn't just about salvation. I had an email debate with a guy, and that's what he said. I'm not going to listen to Galatians. It's solely about salvation.
Oh, my goodness.
He doesn't want to apply it to the Christian life, but Paul surely did.
He did.
And all of the issues, whether Titus should be compelled to be circumcised, whether Peter is going to, and Barnabas were going to eat with Gentile Christians.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether people are blessed or cursed.
Right.
Whether we're going to go back under the schoolmaster or the pedagogos. All of these things have to do with the Christian life. So, dear listeners, don't just throw Galatians out the window.
Right.
Because Paul wrote it to Christians.
Amen. You know, you look at our day in the churches, you hear a lot of times I'll see people try to falsely bind other Christians in the church. They'll come up with things that they're not bound to in Scripture and say, you must do this or that. And they think nothing of it. In fact, the majority in the church, when they see that behavior, they'll either acquiesce or they'll ignore it because they'll say, well, this person's really zealous. Well, it's not zeal. What it is, it's a compromise.
It's the person setting themselves up to be the lawgiver from God and usurping Christ and the apostles.
Amen.
Paul took it seriously because it is serious.
It is.
Now, we're coming to the end of this letter, and we're hoping that those of you who have been listening along have realized the gravity of this.
Right.
And if you don't get it here, go back into Matthew and see the interaction between Jesus and the lawgivers of his day, the Pharisees and scribes.
Exactly.
Or read Matthew 23.
Exactly right.
And he uttered some real strong imprecations against them.
He did, called them a brood of vipers. You don't get
stronger
than
that. Yeah, and so you know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, will read what he has to say about the Pharisees.
Right. Yeah, in Mark 7, he says that they had nullified the word of God for the traditions of men, and that's exactly what the Judaizers are doing.
Okay, that's exactly right. So this is important, okay? And then he goes on to say, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh, verse 12, try to compel you to be circumcised simply so they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ.
Wow, what an indictment.
Well, it's very interesting. And this is an important verse in our understanding of the book of Galatians.
Yeah, it's a good summary.
Because the term compel here from the Greek is found three times in Galatians. The first time is in Galatians 2:3. Do you have that in front of you, Eric?
2:3?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me read that for you. It says, but even Titus, who was with me, was not forced, there's the term compel, to be circumcised, though he was a Greek.
Yeah, so Paul considered it as a matter of inconsequence.
Right, right.
Whether you're circumcised or not was of no consequence under the new covenant.
That's right.
No reason to boast one way or another.
Exactly.
And these Judaizers would not tolerate Paul's doctrine of Christian liberty on this matter.
That's right.
They were going to demand that this is going to be the way it is.
Yeah. Now, once it is compelled, now you have a compromise of Christ himself, don't you? Because now you have sufficiency no longer in Christ alone. Now you're adding to his finished work.
Well, that's what Paul says here.
Yeah.
Because it's an attack on the cross.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I don't know why Christians don't get this. But they get deceived by lawgivers almost every time.
Yeah.
Somebody will come along and say, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have these days of worship that you have to follow along the lines of the Jewish Sabbath. This is how you have to deal with your kids.
Right.
Here's all of our laws about that.
Right.
Here's laws about this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
And if you want more, we're working on it. Okay. There's no end to it.
Right.
And see, and the reason this circumcision became sort of the key issue, because the implication was if you listened to them on this point and acquiesced, they owned you.
Right. They won't stop.
That's just symbolic of everything else. You're going to have to keep everything of the law of Moses.
That's right.
Plus all of the traditions that we decide, because we'll see now, we're going to eventually go on to Colossians, in Colossians 2:8, that these philosophies are not according to Christ, but according to the traditions of men.
Yes, amen. That's
and
right.
So, dear saints, don't allow it to happen. Don't appease the lawgivers.
Yeah, that's right.
We're under the law of Christ. We're willing to obey what's taught by Christ and his apostles.
Yeah.
But human lawgivers are to be resisted, rebuked, ignored, whatever you got to do. But don't give in,
right,
because they'll own you.
Right.
They will never be satisfied. You have to be the slave of the lawgiver.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Bob, it's interesting, as we've seen this happen in our own church in various corners.
But we dealt with it, and God bless you for dealing with it, Eric.
Well, thanks, Bob. That's kind of you. And I know you were right with me and helping out. But you know, here's the thing. What I've noticed is when you look at issues of libertinism, for instance, let's say you had someone engaged in just gross immorality. It seems to me, in my experience, if you're in a biblical church, the biblical Christian will seem to be able to spot that right away. But you're right, Bob. I've never seen a real strong stance against legalism yet, except for leadership that knew about it. In other words, it's the average Christian just can't spot the lawgiver. They think they're being zealous or pious, and oh, what's wrong with that? And yet it is a compromise of the gospel, every bit as much or more than liberty.
So I really hope our listeners got what Galatians is about.
Yeah.
And it applies to the Christian life.
Yeah.
And it's apropos not only in Paul's day, but in our day.
Yes.
And when these people come along to compel you, that's Paul's word, and it's a good translation, you do it this way, because we demand it and command it. Otherwise, yeah. You're not pleasing God. If you say no, I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ through the cross, they'll just get angry.
Yeah.
They'll get very angry.
Right.
Honestly, I've seen people just blow a gasket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wouldn't allow them to be the lawgiver over me.
Right. That's right. They don't like that.
Well, where do we see that? In the Gospels with the religious leaders vis-a-vis Jesus.
That's right.
They wouldn't tolerate him or his disciples.
Yeah. Bob, yeah, do you remember when Jesus says, you know, you played the song
and we they had the wedding game.
Yeah.
We played a flute, we're going to play a wedding.
Yeah.
Kids used to do that, see?
Right.
Oh, you better dance because it's a wedding. We're just playing a game.
Right.
And then they do the funeral dirge, and you're supposed to play funeral and mourn.
Exactly. Well,
and
Jesus
they used
didn't
to
do
wail.
That.
And so then the kids would play those games because they saw weddings and funerals.
Right.
Jesus said that's what this generation is like.
Right. They play the flute.
And neither Jesus nor John the Baptist would go along with their game.
Right.
And so they claimed that one of them was demonic and the other one was a drunkard and a glutton.
Yeah. Now explain that, because I think that that's interesting just further. John the Baptist, they were upset because they thought
he was out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
With a limited diet.
Right. Now, Jesus, they claim to be a glutton.
And
he's the opposite.
Ate with sinners.
Right.
And so
neither of them were in their good graces.
And this is all found in Matthew 11, by the way,
right,
listeners. What that shows us is that there's something at work. And what it is these people's need, desire, whatever, to be in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do what I say. And that's the ultimate thing. You right. do what I say.
Yeah.
If I say jump, you jump.
Yeah, isn't that true?
And if you won't, they want you dead.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They want you out of the way. Now, you know, here it says in verse 12, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you. Timothy George had an interesting reading on that, Bob.
Okay.
Where he talked about the desire to make a good showing. He made an analogy, and it's only an analogy, but follow this through. In 1 Samuel 18... we had Saul, if everyone recalls, he had promised David that David could have his daughter, but there was a catch. He had to bring the foreskins of 100 Philistines. And so David, of course, did that, and so that was a payment, as it were. It was like a trophy, you know, 100 trophies. And his analogy, of course, is in a sense that's what these Judaizers were doing, is they looked
they
at
They wanted this, trophies.
They wanted trophies. Exactly. It was as if, you know, you have some...
We
camps.
Compelled 15 to be circumcised.
Yes,
yay!
Yeah, exactly.
We won.
Then you see the same thing today. It's a good warning to say, look, it's not about a head count or an altar call with 15 raised hands. You know, what we have to realize is that, you know, God alone is the one who saves. He alone is the one who does the work. And these Judaizers and the legalists, they'll always come up with a formula in some sort of works-based salvation that we have to be on guard against and must protect the flock against.
Yeah, you're right. They're looking for trophies.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other thing they're looking to do is avoid the cross.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a antithetical parallelism between compelled to be circumcised and in the cross.
Yeah.
They don't want to be persecuted because of the cross.
Right.
And the most intense persecution that came against Paul in the gospel was from Jews.
Right, right.
And this was the issue. Throughout the book of Acts, it's a continual battle.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Bob, what's interesting is I was looking at that adverb, simply, and I think that ties in exactly what you're saying. Simply is monos, which we get the term alone or one. And so Paul is really saying that primarily or alone, it was for the sake that they didn't want to be persecuted for the cross. That was their primary motivation. And
yeah, there's also a purpose clause, hina.
Yeah, hina, exactly. There's the
yeah,
purpose.
Yeah, manas, hina.
Yeah, so, you know, I know there was a lot of zealots in the Jerusalem area that they would have gone after anyone who seemed to collaborate with the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And for these Judaizers to be able to show, look, there's a distinction between us and those who aid and give support to the Jerusalem Christians. Boy, a wonderful way of doing that is to compel circumcision. They would have garnered the favor with the zealots right there and then.
Well, that's exactly what they were looking for, favor with the zealots.
Right.
Well, there was another place here where this term in the Greek for compelled is used, and that's in Galatians 2:14.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so 2:3, 2:14, and here in 6:12. But 2:14, I'll read that.
Yeah.
But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?
Wow.
Now, if you remember, what was going on was table fellowship.
Yes.
They separated.
Right.
So the Gentiles would have to follow Jewish food laws, another one of those three things that we've talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the food laws, Sabbath keeping, and circumcision.
Circumcision, yeah.
So they're going to compel them. You have to become Jewish, full-blown followers of Moses.
Wow.
In order to find fellowship with these Christians.
Right.
And there are groups like that today, not the least of which is Seventh-day Adventists.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah, we also see it too, Bob, don't we, in the a lot of the Hebrew roots movements and some of the movements.
Yeah, they want to live like
Torah.
Jews and act like that makes you a better Christian.
Yeah, it's really a compromise in the gospel.
So there's only some pious lawgivers who want to compel others to obey them.
Right, right.
And so if they kept the law of Moses, they could avoid Jewish persecution.
Yeah.
And the cross for Paul, as we see here in Galatians, is the dividing line.
Mm, that's right.
Okay, he's crucified to the world.
Yes.
Okay, and that's where the flesh dies.
Yeah, dead to the world.
And that's where we die to law works as a means of coming to God.
Yeah.
And that's where we come alive to faith in Christ alone.
That's right.
And that's where we come under the blessing of Abraham.
Yes.
Okay, to those who believe.
Wow.
And this cross caused persecution.
Yeah.
But the Judaizers were going to avoid the persecution.
You know, Bob, I love how you say that the cross is the dividing line. That is such a great statement because, you know, I was thinking about this. Baptism is really a symbol of that dividing line. In other words, baptism, my contention is it's primarily about identity.
It's about death, burial, resurrection
exactly.
of Christ and
exactly.
us dying
with
to
him.
The old way of living.
That's right, dead to Egypt. Just as Israel, when they went through the Red Sea, they weren't going back to Egypt after that.
I think it's important how Paul makes that analogy in 1 Corinthians 10 about that.
Exactly. So yeah, Bob, I love that. That's a great point. The cross is the dividing line. And if the Judaizers are right, the cross was not necessary. And yet, if they're wrong,
if they believe we can be blessed and by law works, which Paul proved couldn't be the case.
Exactly.
By citing the Old Testament.
Right.
That if you don't obey everything in the law, then you're cursed. Well, nobody could.
You know, Bob, legalists, what they really do is they make Christ's work superfluous.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
They deny the sufficiency of Christ.
Yeah, it's an attack on the cross.
Now, it says in Romans 10:4, I have this as a cross reference.
Yeah.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
Mm.
Now, have you looked at that verse lately?
You know, it's been a while, but I know the end there is telos, which either can be rendered goal or the end.
Yeah,
and
termination point.
And I often think, you know, it's really both. But
it's both because in the prophetic sense.
Yes, he's the
Now,
goal.
We want to make this clear.
Yep.
Because as you study this, and then now that I'm preaching through Colossians, it comes up there.
Yeah.
Law as law works to try to please God.
It's the end.
It brings us to curse.
Right.
Not blessing.
Yeah.
And but the law is prophetic,
Torah.
And it points us to Christ.
Amen.
So Christ is the fulfillment of the law because he is the one the law prophesies about.
Right.
Jesus said, Moses spoke of me. And he's also the fulfilling of the law for righteousness because He bore the penalty for our sin,
right,
that we might have the imputed righteousness of God,
right,
given to us by God's work of grace through Christ and his cross.
Amen.
And it's for everyone who believes.
Right. That's right.
And so if that all is true, and it says it is here in Romans 10:4.
Right.
Well, then why would you compel somebody to be circumcised?
Right, it's the end. That's right. It's the end.
Why would you compel them to be a Sabbath keeper?
Right, exactly.
Why
right.
do you compel them to keep Jewish food laws?
Right. It's devastating, Bob. It really is. Yeah, Bob, you know, it's funny you mentioned this. On my mind is Romans 8:3, where Paul goes on. This is prior, obviously, to Romans 10, but he says, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And so what the law couldn't do, because it was weakened by our flesh, God did through the cross of his Son, is the way to put it in our context.
Amen.
Here with Galatians. And that's exactly why you're saying, Bob, hey, it's the end for those who want to keep the law.
When you consider Colossians, Galatians, Hebrews,
yes,
Romans, why don't Christians get this?
Wow.
Why do legalists still run around out there?
Yeah.
Start churches, write books, go on TV,
yeah,
pound on people. They don't get it because they're not submitted to the authority of Scripture, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, you know, Bob, too, I've thought about this, too, and one of the things that I remember you teaching us on many years ago was the idea of binding and loosing.
Yeah.
And that's a concept that I think is so important, because I think a lot of Christians, they'll read Galatians, and they look at their own lives, and they say, well, I don't see anybody in my life trying to compel circumcision. But what they don't realize is by someone falsely binding them to something else that's never either been ordained by God or something that's relegated to the Old Covenant, they're falling under the same category of heresy that the Judaizers were compelling.
I've been, as you know, I like to read Luther.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about Luther in regard to this was that he would purposely say, no, I'm not going to listen to you.
Right.
They told him he couldn't be married because he took a vow back when he was in the monastic system.
Right.
That God saved him out of. And so he got married.
Right.
That's not the only reason, but he found someone to marry.
Yeah.
And he said, somebody told him, you can't call something this or that. He said, okay, I'm going to call it that just to prove to you I have liberty.
Right, amen. That's right. And we don't want to let our liberties in Christ to be trampled. It's a compromise on what Christ has done.
Well, we
for
don't
us.
Want to give somebody the power to rule over us outside of Scripture.
That's right.
We need to realize that whatever we say can be challenged and corrected if it's not biblical.
Yeah.
I think we got time. Let's go to verse 13 here.
Yeah.
For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so they may boast in your flesh.
Wow.
That reminds me of that thing about the Philistines.
Yes, exactly.
That you were talking about.
Right.
Now, what does he mean here? They don't keep the law themselves. Well, you have to think of Matthew 23. They tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they won't lift them with a finger.
Right.
They don't ever think that there's something wrong with me.
Right, exactly.
They don't accept that role ever, the lawgivers.
That's right.
They never even conceive that they're doing anything wrong.
That's right.
Because once you get the status of lawgiver, then you're immune.
Yes, amen.
And if somebody tries to correct you in any kind of manner like you're dishing out, they get violently angry.
Right, and it's interesting, you know, Paul condemns even the idea that anyone would be able to keep the law. In fact, I know in Galatians he cites Leviticus 18, you know, those who keep the law will live by it. And the implication right after that he makes is that no one can keep it. And in fact, he asks the question, why then the law, in Galatians 3:19, and he says, well, it was added because of transgressions. And he goes on to say, the scriptures, which is where the law is found.
Yeah.
He says, imprisoned everyone under sin. This is Galatians 3:22. So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So the law had this role of showing everyone that they couldn't live up to the standards of God.
Yeah, and it's the same thing as we talk about in Galatians 3:10.
Yeah.
We're under a curse. We put ourselves under the law.
Right, right.
We're cursed.
Amen. By the way, I love that you had a sheet, and in fact it was in a sermon several times, but you had a contrast.
I have it printed out here.
Yeah, and I love for the audience to see that if they have an opportunity to go online.
I have it right in front of me.
Yeah, why don't you just read that out? I think that's okay. So powerful.
So I have 12 items each in two columns.
Yeah.
One column says works, 1 through 12. And the other one, faith, 1 through 12.
Wow.
And these are all directly out of Galatians. Okay, I wrote an article about this. You can find it on cicministry.org.
Right.
It's called Cursed by Works or Blessed by Faith.
Wow.
Okay.
I like it.
And it goes through this and shows it.
Yeah.
People don't like it. They don't want to hear about it. I don't know why people think they can be law keepers and God's going to be happy.
Right.
But they do. So we need to pull the rug out from under law works righteousness.
That's right.
Okay, so here's these 12 items. I'll give you one, and then the one on the other column.
Right.
Okay? Galatians 2:16, if you're under works, no justification.
Mm.
If you are of faith, justified. That's Galatians 2:16.
Wow.
According to Galatians 3:10 and 13, if you're under works, you're cursed. Galatians 3:9, if you're of faith, you're blessed.
Wow.
If you're under works, number 3 here, in prison, Galatians 3:22 and 23. If you're of faith, you're redeemed, Galatians 3:13.
Wow.
If you're of works, you're under a guard.
Wow.
Okay, Galatians 3:23. If you're of faith, you've received the Spirit, Galatians 3:14. If you're of works, you're under custody, Galatians 3:24 and 25. If you are of faith, you're brothers in Christ.
Wow.
Galatians 3:15. If you are of works, you're a slave. You have slave status. Galatians 4:1. If you are of faith, you've believed the promise and you're heirs of the promise.
Wow.
Galatians 3:22. If you're of works, you're under guardians, Galatians 4:2. These are different words in the Greek, by the way.
Yeah.
Paul piles these up to show them how bad it is to go under these things.
Right.
But people still want to do it.
That's right.
I don't care if I'm cursed and beat up and imprisoned and under the pedagogy, all these bad things. Right. I want works.
Yes.
Why? Because every world religion teaches works, and we can't stand that all we have is the cross of Christ and the imputed righteousness.
That's right. It's human pride, isn't
it? Yeah, so we are rejecting the cross, whether we still talk about it or not.
Right.
Corresponding to the guardian, number 7, Galatians 3:23, we're released from prison.
Wow.
Number 8, under works, we're under stewards, 4:2. In faith, number 8, we have new status in Christ, 3:27. Under works, we're slaves to the stoichia, 4, 3, and 9, the hostile spiritual powers. Number 9, under faith, we're no longer under the stoichia, 4, 3 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
We're delivered from demons.
Wow.
10, enslaved to idols, 4, 8. 10, sons and heirs of Christ, 4, 7. Works of the flesh, 4:23. Faith of the promise, 4:23. The last one, number 12, works under a yoke, 5:1. Faith free in Christ, 5:1. So there is that chart that I put up when I was preaching this. And all right out of Galatians.
That's
I didn't make
right.
any of this up. I'm not massaging the text.
No, it's right
I'm
there.
Not giving some difficult reading to some of these verses. They are what they say.
Yeah.
You know, people twist them.
Right.
They claim that the pedagogy was a good thing, but we proved that that was not a desirable thing.
Exactly.
Remember we talked about it's like having graduated from high school and in college.
Go back?
Go back to high school and put yourself under the guidance counselor.
Right. Yeah.
It would be absurd.
It would be.
That's what Paul's saying, but yet that's what people want to do.
Yeah.
We, dear listeners, do not listen to these people. Do not listen to the legalists. Do not listen to false binding.
That's right.
Do not listen to those who say you have to keep Sabbath along whatever lines they claim when Colossians 2 says we have liberty in that matter of Sabbath days. Don't listen. Don't listen to people who have food laws.
Yes.
Cast off all of these bondages and come to Christ and have freedom and be a son or a daughter rather than a slave. Get out of the prison.
Right.
Walk into freedom where with Christ has made you free.
Yes.
And do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other ways to say it.
Right.
But that's what the message of Galatians is.
Amen. You know, Bob, you had posed the question, why is it that people still fall for the legalist and fall after them and want to, you know, follow them? One of the things you had concluded in your sermons, and I thought this was really important, was that the most privileged and powerful position on the planet is to be the lawgiver. And you brought that all the way back to Adam and Eve and the garden. You'll be like God, knowing the difference between...
Yeah, you can be the lawgiver. Why listen to God?
Exactly. And so that's why people are craving it, aren't they?
I know. People want to be lawgivers.
Yeah.
And they're looking for people to compel so that you have to obey them.
Right.
How do you know they're doing that? Tell them, no, I will stand in my liberty in Christ. They will be angry.
That's right. That's right.
You will see their faces get red.
Right.
They will get very angry.
That's right.
Because they can't tolerate anybody who won't obey their decrees.
Amen.
Now, that's what the false teachers were like that Paul was dealing with.
Yep.
Okay. That's what the Pharisees and scribes were like.
That's right.
That Jesus was dealing with. And they went off to figure out how they could kill him.
Right.
Because they couldn't stand the idea he wouldn't submit to them.
That's right.
As God's lawgivers. None of this ever changes.
Right.
People will sign up for cults.
Yes.
They'll become Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah.
Because they want somebody to rule over them.
Right.
They can't stand the idea that I have freedom in Christ, and therefore I have the responsibility of walking in that freedom,
right?
Of walking in the Spirit,
right?
And of seeing by faith through grace, by the means of grace, that the fruit of the Spirit is exhibited in my life.
That's right.
But if I just have to obey some human lawgiver, I can say, well, there, they told me to obey this creed or this council or this thing from church history, so I did it, so I'm okay now.
That's right. Well said.
Don't believe it.
That's right.
On the day of judgment, you shall be judged not on the basis of creeds and councils, but on the basis of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus Christ is the true lawgiver under the new covenant. None of these other people are, other than He has appointed apostles.
Amen. Wow.
So, dear listeners, don't be deceived. We're trying to encourage you to stand in the liberty that God gave you through the gospel.
Right.
And as you do, you will have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. All of these fruits will be what God is doing in you.
Right.
And we pray that that would be true for us and true for you as well.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Bob. Great summary. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. And Bob, I look forward to discussing the next verse next week and getting back into Galatians. And I know we're going to be getting through this book soon, but we never run out of material from the Bible. We'll be getting into another book after that, won't we?
Amen.
We want to remind you out there to stand firm in one spirit with one mind, strive together for the faith of the gospel.